Hey everyone, welcome once again to Guilds of the North, your one-stop shop for Guild Ball news-ish and entertainment from the Great White North. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, the happiest guy in Guild Ball, Beastie.
Evening, Paul.
How's it going?
Very good, very good.
Good, good. So, it's been a few weeks since we recorded anything. And by now, everyone's had plenty of time to play the new stuff.
Yeah, even we did have time to play with the new stuff. So that means everybody had time to play
exactly. with the new stuff. Exactly. I've actually gotten, like 6 games in since last recording, which doesn't sound like a lot to anyone, but that's a lot for me. I've played 2 games a week for the last few weeks. So,
yeah, that's pretty impressive for you.
For me, yeah. I'm lucky if I get a game in a week.
It's almost more than I did the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
I know.
I know that must pain you. So
I demand more Guild Ball.
Okay, well, I demand that my family become self-sufficient and not require me. But those demands continue to go unanswered. And probably will be like that for the next several years.
Yeah, you have a couple of years for
that. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Love my family. Keep telling myself that. So Guild Ball.
Yes.
So how do we want to start this? We want to start with, let's start with the, have you tried any of the teams that were revised? Have you tried Falconers or?
Well, I've been playing Falconers in the Escalation League at the store on the South Shore. So my experience is a bit skewed. Because, like, it's all new players and everything. So I can do pretty much what I want. So.
Right. Okay, I get that. But you have played Falconers before.
Yeah, but there's a big difference from before. I mean, honestly, like, if we rewind back to when we did the recording of the errata, I kind of remember myself saying, well, just one influence for Arrier will help, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. And like plus 5 attack instead of plus 4 for Divana, I don't know if it's going to be enough. Well, guys, it is enough. Man, it does a big difference. And like, especially, I never thought I would say that, but I feel Icarus is useful.
Whoa.
I know it's
hot takes here, folks.
It's kind of blasphemy to say that, especially from me. But actually, like, you put 2 influence on him and he can move, drop his area, and then go back with a fly. So you just did this job and he's not going to die. And if you need to do a gold run, you can load in 4 influence. And since he drops his area for 1, it's better for him. Like, he's really a nice threat for doing that goal run early in the turn, in the first turn. So that's a change. But it also sounds weird, but I'm not playing Minerva anymore, almost, because I replaced her with Mitagi. And I really like Vet Urn, because since the Arrier is on now only 1 influence, means it's only costing 1 momentum if you do last light. And since Divana is now 4-6 instead of 4-5, she doesn't really need the last light, so you can do it on Runda. So he'll drop his area and go in for damage, and since his 3 damage is now lower, odds he's going to do like 16 damage with 4 influence, which is pretty neat.
Odds are he's going to do 16, you said?
Yeah, well, it's 4 attack at 4 damage each. So yeah, it's 16. Well, that's kind of the minimal you'll do. Because like, if what? You...
I knew it was better, but hold on. So well, he's how many dice stack?
6 stack. And his, so, 3 damage is on the 3rd column.
So 6 stack. And Harrier is plus 1 damage, right?
Yeah.
So on a 4-1, on 6 dice...
Well, you're going to get
3 minus 1, yeah. You're going to get 2. So you have to get spiky a little bit. On average, you have to spike a little bit to do
Yeah, you need to spike 1 more than average. Yeah.
But I mean, what's he got on two? Probably two?
Yeah, it's a two.
So it's safe bet you're going to do at least 12 damage, right?
Yeah, or like...
On a 4-1, I'm talking about, yeah.
Exactly, but if you want, like, you can sacrifice some damage to do the dirty knives and reduce...
Which may lead to more damage later on.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So there's ways. And the Vana, the plus four is really... plus five is... It's a huge difference. But I did try a bit of, like, the jank with tackling the ball and then doing the airmail since now it's a pass.
Yeah.
But, well, apart from doing 6-inch tap-in pass, it didn't really... I didn't really add the opening. That's not true. I had the opening once.
Snapshot off that?
Yeah, that I did it once to Icarus because I did a 12-inch pass and then he snapshot for a goal.
He's got 8-inch kick?
Yeah. He's 4'8".
Okay, so that seems gross.
He was unengaged, so the pass was on 4, but I was down to two dice because I had two bonus time to go back to two dice because all the intervening model. But yeah, it was for a goal, so I didn't really care much. And it's in the league, so I was just trying to...
Yeah, you're playing for fun, right?
Yeah, so. Playing for fun and trying stuff and showing off stuff and like showing people how to do snapshot. So
yeah, that's it. You crush those noobs and then you sell it like it was a tutorial. That's right.
Well, even though I crush them, I'm trying to help them and help the people and like after the game and sometime in the game, like tell them how to do their goal run and what they should do and everything. I mean,
you are the friendliest whack player we know.
Well, and it's a league, so people are there to learn, not to like be discouraged and not liking the game. But all the new people who are trying the game so far and really liked it. So,
well, it's a good game,
but it's and that's what I'm finding as more team are
released.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting harder to like know everything for newer player at the beginning. So it's starting to feel like any war game.
Yeah, like, I would say every game. Remember trying to learn Warhammer Fantasy and trying to learn what your opponent's teams did or opponent's
armies? Yeah, but there was a point I knew everything. Like,
right, after you'd played for how many years?
Yeah, a lot of years, and I was following everything because it was my main game.
There was no rule changes. Errata was like few and far between, right? And like codexes came out once every 4 years or 5 years, so armies didn't refresh constantly.
Yeah, and Guild Ball, that time,
there's a lot of dynamic changing and a lot of, you know, with the facts and everything.
Yeah, and at that time, GW was not really fun on fact and everything, so.
Well, they were a model company, not a game company, right?
Yeah, but now it's different, so.
Yeah, well, it's a brave new world, Steve.
It is.
Brave new world. All right, so you had some fun with the Falconers.
Yeah, and I tried as well. I didn't try the rats yet, but I did try the new captain for the Hunters.
Okay, well, let's not talk about that yet.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to talk a little about the Sothesians, because I want to try to do the teams first, then we'll get the
captains. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So I've been playing the Order a bit. I've got about 4 games now with the Order. And the...
How's the church treating you?
Yeah, the ball jank is a lot of fun. I ain't going to lie. I don't think it's super powerful. I think it's good. I think people are... Actually, I think right now it's better than it will be in a couple months because people are fearful of taking the ball of light away because they don't want to take the 4 points of damage.
Oh, but it's starting to fade out. I mean,
yeah, but that's
taking that 4 damage, it's really worth it in my opinion.
Absolutely. Hot strats. Take that ball away because if you let them have the ball, there's too many. And this is the thing people forget. There's at least two out of activation passing possibilities, right? And if you've got two balls in play to do that with, it can give your guys some crazy mobility when it's not even their turn.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with Ari.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because you generate momentum and you dodge and you don't use that momentum. I mean, it's so good.
you know, things like Season Spigot's heroic play where, you know, he makes you make a pass to him for, you know, for a momentum. It's super good.
Oh, so you have been able to try it?
Oh, yes. yeah, there was a game where I did that, and I also took advantage of Brisket's I'm open in the same game, and I scored with both of them.
That's pretty nice.
So it was kind of like, what do you mean the ball's not dead on Harry? Yeah, well, Spigot makes him pass to him. Oh, okay. So I pass, I'm within four, so I dodge four. Okay, and then Spigot kicks Harry the ball of light, because he also had that. And I dodge another four, and I'm still within four. Like, okay. Okay, now I'm going to move, you know, eight or whatever. Okay, now I kick eight. Like, it's just... there was a lot of, like, what the hell is going on?
Indeed.
And then I think the kick came back out, and then I opened it off of Fangtooth or something back to Brisket, who was within striking distance of the goal.
So she yeah. scored.
Yeah. So like, and again, it was just, if I hadn't had the ball of light at the time, I wouldn't have been able to do that. And actually, my biggest problem with the ball of light is my dice suck. So I kept missing passes with it. So it was not super efficient for me. But someone who's got good dice...
Well, that's why you have to do tap and pass, Paul.
No, I was doing tap and passes, Steve.
Oh, well, change your dice.
I failed a three dice tap in.
Okay, it's time to change your dice.
Yeah, three ones. They don't remind me. Yeah, but on the whole, I think it's a lot of fun. It kind of makes me think of playing my fish. But different.
There's almost more passing than with fish.
Yeah, and it's all like kind of janky, whatever, right? So it's fun just to be doing it, to throw that ball light around and hop all over the place because of Harry's hat, and you know, but back up momentum and just have a blast.
But as you said, it's really dice dependent.
Well, yeah, because you miss a pass, you make a plan counting on that free dodge. Or even on a dodge you're using the momentum on, and then you fail the pass, so that doesn't happen, so it wrecks your whole play.
Exactly.
And that happens every game, at least once every game. But it's still fun, because it's random. Now, I say it's fun, but I'm also talking from a casual point of view. In a tournament, I mean, I'm not saying they're not good in tournaments. We know from Vengeance that they are. I just don't know if I'd want to play... them in a tournament knowing how poorly my dice usually do for me, because it'd be too risky.
Yeah, because it's not reliable.
Well, it takes you know, what little player skill I have out of the equation, right? Because it's just a dice roll, and it happens or it doesn't, and you can't really affect it that much. So I have enough bad luck on my own. I don't need to throw that type of randomness into my game.
Exactly, because like if you're needing that in crucial moment, and then you don't have the pass, and it scatters away, then yeah, kind of sucks.
Yep. I've actually had to send people behind my deployment line to, like, go fetch it out, off deployment, like, start the play, pass the ball of light down the line, have it miss, scatter, like, 6 inches to the one, so it's, like, way behind, like, at the edge of the board. Like,
yeah, that's why I would try to take it away as soon as I can and just like kick it to space behind my line or something like that.
That's because you're mean, Steve. Remind me never to play the order against you.
I'll take that for damage. No problem at all.
Actually, I just switched to a kill you team. I would just try to kill you with it. You'd take that 4 damage and I'd dogpile that person.
Exactly.
Fangtooth and Spigot, right? Fangtooth knocks you down, gets a couple shots in, does some decent damage. And Spigot runs in, and with a couple crowd outs and his
plus two floor, tacks. Yeah.
Like, I think it's called floored, isn't it?
Yeah. Plus two tack against knockdown target.
Yeah, well, exactly. So suddenly he's attacking regular attacks, 9 tack.
Like, yeah, and he has pretty decent damage, and it's momentous as well.
Why, exactly. So there was a what the hell moment in my last game with them, where I did that. I had... someone crowded out with, I think Harry Fangtooth and Brisket, and they were knocked down, and Spigot walked in and just started pounding on them. And with 10 dice on a knockdown person, and I think they were a 2-1 because of the knockdown.
Ouch.
So it was just like murderizing them.
You're mean, Bo.
Yeah, and you know, I was playing as Chris at the time, and he just wasn't expecting it. I think because he just assumed they're a ball playing team to like fish, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They won't do any damage, they'll be fine. But you know, Spigot on 10 dice needs to, well, that's the thing, man. And Spigot on 10 dice tack, right? I was wrapping, so I was doing momentous 3 and then 1. So I was doing 4 points of damage at attack. It adds up quick.
Well, thank you can do that damage as well. With that 6 damage at the top of his playbook?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, plus you throw Harry in there if you get a singled out or whatever.
Yeah, of course.
Well, I have to say, I tried all game to get a singled out with Harry, and I could never get 3 successes. I think it's on 3 for him.
Is it, or it's on 2?
Maybe it's on 2. Anyway, all I know is I never successfully pulled it off. I either, if I got it, I had to use like the knockdown or something else. Oh, his knockdown's on 3, so that must be.
Oh, because you needed to do the knockdown to because of the counterattack or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so single that's on 2. But because like I you know, have 3 influence on him, I know his max is 4, but I usually never put more than 3. And I would like flub a roll and then get 3 successes, so I take the knockdown and then get 1 success on my next attack and do 1 point of damage. Like,
yeah. Well, if they're not countering, knockdown is not that useful, I find. You're better off with single dial because it's going to help in the long run better than the knockdown.
Well, I was trying to set up the scrum for like Spigot and stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there was the knockdown had a purpose. I guess 2 tack would have been good too. Well, either way, it was 2 tack in terms of what Spigot would do. So if I single out, he's going to get plus 2 tack. And if I knock down the model, he's going to get plus 2 tack. So.
But if you do both, it's going to get plus 4 attack.
But I couldn't pull off both. So
it's going to be Rap City.
I was a sad panda. But anyway, so I found the games to be super fun. I really encourage people who have the models to, you know, to build order out of their union or whatever from ages past. It is totally worth just to try. Though I have to say, I don't find a lot of use for Grace and Benediction anymore.
Well, Benediction feels so slow.
Yeah, and Grace is good, but she's only 2 dice kick, right? She's got good playbooks, she's got good abilities.
Yeah, but she's mostly like a quick foot bot.
Yeah, and she's just...
So, like, odds is she's taking miss slots, so yeah. I think I prefer having miss.
Yeah, because you just can't drop Harry, right, with that the free teamwork actions?
No, you need him every time. So, like, your core is Brisket, Pride, Seasoned Spigot, with Fangtooth, and then you have a flex for, like, a Mist, and or maybe Grace, depending, or... So, it's kind of rough to...
That's not much of a flex slot, if you ask me. But anyway, maybe if you want to go all models with a certain aesthetic, you know, if you're playing Fluffy. Of course, then the Captain doesn't match.
Yeah.
Did you just hit the mic?
No, I dropped my glass after finishing my beer.
Your liquid English?
Yeah. A second glass of liquid English.
Oh, you should be very English then. Oh, yeah. We should warn people, we're trying a different recording setup tonight in preparation for something coming up. So if the audio quality is terrible, just blame Steve. It's all good.
My fault.
Yeah. All right. New captains.
Yes. So,
what's your experience so far with the last batch of new captains? Because we've seen some previews of new captains. So,
well, from the first batch of captain, I didn't try Morn. I haven't played with my mortician for a long time, so I need to get some game in. But according to the internet, she sucks. So I'm curious to see how bad she sucks. But
sucks is tough.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I think it's a different
play style.
And it might be fun. I don't know how competitive it is because they have two very good
yeah,
competitive captains, right? Much like the hunter's position. So I think it's tough to figure out where to slot Morn in.
Yeah, exactly. Because
what type of game is she really playing, and what does she want to see? And she, you know, that's not covered by Obelisk or Scalpel Better.
I feel you want Morn against somebody who is a slow player, so he's going to clock, and you're going to win. Because, like, your player are always staying there and everything, so it's going to be
right. So you're playing for the clock game,
yeah,
which is a valid strategy,
but honestly,
not very exciting, but no, it's valid.
But I don't think, like, you wouldn't take her against a scoring team, because she doesn't help against that at all. Because like against pushers, you don't want her as well, because they go through your players so fast. Like,
yeah,
they can kill the same player twice in the same activation, like, especially Ved Bor or something like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe against like a Union Killy team, because they don't tend to explode you the way butchers do.
Yeah,
right. Because, you know, even Smiths I think would be too much for them, or too much for her, because the damage output is like very bursty.
Yeah, but still, yeah. I think she has game against Blacksmith maybe. Because it's a plus two attack and a reroll, so it means it helps you bypass a bit of the armor factor.
That's true. But I think against, you know, people who are going to nickel and dime you like Union.
Yeah.
I think she's pretty good.
So I might dust off my Mortician soon to test her out a bit.
You keep threatening to dust them off, just saying.
I know. But I did try Steeljaw a couple of games.
Oh, yeah. So tell me about it.
At first, I just disliked her, because she was like, she felt like a bad version of Terran for control, as a control piece.
Not the first time I've heard that.
And like, well, because Terran is really more specialized in control, because Finn or the arrow to the knee, so you can like either like slow down the striker, or just especially against Furious model, or even striker, like direct them and prevent them from scoring. But Steeljaw is a bit more subtle in the way she works. Her legendary, she's starting to grow on me. I feel she has place, and actually I feel she could be good against like Navs and Fish, and to some extent Miners as well, because
we all know no one's good against Miners, Steve.
I know, but I feel she has a good chance. Well, not a good chance, but she has some game against Miner, just because of her character play bait, and because you don't need to roll dice. You place two trap, you push, and then you apply snare, one damage, and either weak point or bleed. So like against scoring team, lots of their striker have high defense, so hitting those five, that def five models sometimes, like with Terran with a pin or something like that, can be dicey. You need to bonus time. As with her, she doesn't need to bonus time, and she just do the damage and snare, so that's pretty good. And also her legendary is kind of brutal, because basically you can do five damage to a model without even rolling dice. So that's pretty awesome, especially like against tough-eyed models, because they're so rough to take down. I played against Brewers, and there was this...
I see. So you just surround someone with put a bunch of traps in a line behind them or whatever, then push them.
Well, you just push. Yeah, exactly. So you just push. If you don't want to roll dice, what you do is just do your legendary, place five traps around that model, and then use bait and push that model 1 inch away, and then it'll trigger all five traps. So that's that's the way to do five damage. And if it's last activation, you do it and you put bleed, so it's going to be an additional three, so that's 8 damage to a model.
Yep.
So that's pretty good. But also, usually the lineup I play, even with her, that's the lineup I've tried. Actually, I tried an 11 influence lineup with her. So I had Steeljaw, Fahad, Vetmix, Cheska, the Bear, and original Urn. So only Urn benefited from her trap, but it made a difference because he has some push in his playbook. So it was helping him a bit. So, but she's starting to grow on me. She's a controlling piece, but not in the same way as Tyrant.
Yeah.
But I think she has some plays, and and she has good counter attack as well because she gets disarm if you want to attack and you can get disarm as well. So right. you snare minus two attack on that person, so you kind of crippled that player a bit.
Yeah, the counter attack becomes non-existent at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But her playbook is not stellar. Even I tried to do some takeout on low health model, but it didn't work out. Even with the snared and weak point, my dice were rolling like just average, and it was not enough to do.
Well, that must have been a change for you.
Yeah. Well, I roll average, just like some notable attacks.
Average for Steve. Yeah.
There's some attacks that like are spiking in a spectacular way, but after that it goes and I will flub like something else in a great way.
Mm-hmm.
But she's really good to enable the Bear, I find, because the 1-inch push seems not much, but often people will just measure like outside of the threat range of the Bear, so it's
they'll sit like that eighth inch outside.
Yeah, so it's going to be like 9.25, just so the Bear won't be able to reach with sprint or charge. But with her, like she can move and push that person in, so it's going to help. So that's one use I found for her as well. But and if needed, but she never got there. She's 3-6 kick, but most of the time I was just putting like 2 influence on her. So she was really like doing bait, or if I had spare momentum and like Cheska or Vet Urn were not in use. So I would use Blessing of the Sunfather from Vet Minx on her. So she would get her bait for free and then get 2 attacks and try to do something. But most of the time, just to influence, stay in the back and do a jog and bait was pretty much her use. And it worked fine. I mean,
I really get the impression that the new captains were play tested more with a fun in mind than competitive in mind. And I don't say she's not competitive because I don't think that's right. But I think she, in the purest sense of the term, I don't think she does control as well as Theron, and she doesn't do the scoring team as well as help me out here, Steve. Skeda. So I think she's in a tough spot, right?
Yeah, even though I said I liked her and she's growing on me, I'm not ready to replace Theron in my 12 for her.
Yeah, and I think all the captains presented this release are kind of like that. Now I think about it,
because except Ben Moore.
I don't know. You think? It depends. So in terms of Ox, that's kind of a personal preference thing.
Yeah,
I think Ox is still very competitive, and Ox will do is more. I think Ox is more versatile. So think about Boar. Boar is a super solo, right? He will mangle stuff, but Ox makes the rest of your team really good, and he's a force multiplier because every attack is like an extra. It gets a +1 damage because of his aura, right?
Yep.
So if you can set that up, well then, you know, it's +1 damage per attack, per influence spent, and per result gained. So like it scales quite a bit. Boar just runs in and kills stuff himself. It's really good, but he doesn't have that same scalability.
Yeah, but he does it well. I mean,
oh yeah, I'm not saying he's bad by any means, Steve.
But I mean, with Ox,
he will murderize people.
It may take you like 2 activation, as like with Boar, it's gonna take you 1 Boar activation. He's gonna delete the chosen target.
Right, but then your captain's gonna be out there.
Well,
on the front lines.
Yeah.
But he's which is where he wants to be, let's face it. But he's got 24 health and he's, what's his defense?
3-1, if not mistaken.
Possibly. Possibly he's got lasting power. We'll see. In terms of combat. And Brisket plays a different game, right?
Yeah, I feel it.
Oh, yes, sorry. Wrong team, wrong captain. Philip plays
plays a faster game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we might see kind of a resurgence of her.
With Cooks.
I know, I think Bots was mentioning it on Strictly the Worst. And, you know, whatever he says is gold. So the internet, or at least the US meta, will follow him wherever he goes. So, anything else about good old Steeljaw?
No, that's pretty much the experience I have with her so far.
Have you played any vet board? You have Butchers, right?
No, I don't.
Well, I thought you did.
No, one of the team I've never bought, but I've suffered vet board a couple of times.
I was going to say, you've played against him.
Yeah, I've played against him.
I mean, he's really good.
Yeah. We were talking about, like, he just murdered somebody.
He's a glass cannon that forgot to make out of glass.
Like, should I, if you're asking the question, should I defensive stance? Ah, that's not worth it. Keep your momentum.
Well, unless you're going to, unless you can jump up to like 6 defense, then maybe it's worth it.
Yeah, maybe. Should I counterattack? Nah. It's not worth it.
Where's this Nocturne? I haven't looked. Well, I haven't had the pleasure of playing him yet.
I think it's on 3 or 4, but it's he charged with 12 dice.
Oh, I know your chances of surviving are not good. Yeah.
Like, even if you have, you declare a counterattack or something, like,
well, at least it forces him to use that knockdown.
Yeah.
If you've got a knockdown or something, because either he has to use his or you're going to use yours if you get it.
Yeah.
And considering he's a 3-1.
But especially like if the model is looking for pushes or something like that, like the person playing vet boar will move in consequently, like to of adjust, course. Sure. And like Antoine, when he was charging a couple of times, hitting that 4 damage plus guild ball play, it's pretty brutal because you do 4 damage and stagger, and then you did 4 damage and singled out, and then you attack it, and you have 10 dice, and your 4-1 is suddenly 3-1. It doesn't look that good anymore.
Yeah.
He's going to die.
He is brutal. I wonder how the meta is going to adjust, or how the meta will adjust to him, or if Steamforge is going to have to adjust him.
We'll
wait and see.
Yeah, but even like regular boar now, especially under Ox, was kind of a murder machine. But I think the biggest point about vet boar is he's 4-2 for influence.
Yeah. Oh, he's so super efficient.
So that's the biggest...
It opens up the rest of your team, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's the biggest issue I have. Because being a murder machine or anything, I mean, you need to adjust, but some team must have ways to deal with it. Like,
and especially now with like the change to Shank and stuff, where he's back up to 4 influence.
Yeah. And Shank is really good under him, because if you decide to like under Legendary, goes Berserk and charge for free with Furious under the aura. I know Antoine doesn't like, he says it's less damage, but I feel maybe it's a bit less damage, but it's more movement because you'll get more dodges, because all Shank's damage is always damage plus dodge. So even though like he's going to be doing a bit less damage, he's going to get more like 4 inches of dodge all out of those attacks. Actually 6 total if you... Ugh. Yeah. So he's
so brutal.
And he's so fast. So, yeah. And with that last attack or something like that, you can do where they go and move even further down and to disengage. And, yeah.
Yuck. Yeah. That's... Well, it's not pretty out there.
But he's clearly above the curve, to stay polite. But I don't think he's OP or broken as really broken.
It's funny, right? The game has changed. So, if you look at a shark, right? Remember how shark was a negative play experience because he basically could lock you down for a turn and people within 6 inches basically couldn't move because of all the gut and strings plus his legendary?
Yeah.
But at least he didn't do damage. He just immobilized you, which sucked, but, this guy's just going to delete players. So I really don't know. Like, if Shark was considered OP at the time and a negative playing experience because he was too good, I wonder in this meta now if people would still think that Shark was too powerful.
Well, especially since Gut and String got nerfed, adjusted to -2/-2.
Yeah, exactly.
Move. So I was, when I saw like Gut and String was back was down to 2/2 instead of -4/-4. I was really surprised that Shark didn't get it back.
Yeah, same here. It makes my token set very sad. I think what we consider OP, I rambled before. I'm extremely tired and I wasn't making much sense. But the point I was trying to make was not that Shark was good. The point was that I think our perception of what's OP has shifted as the game's evolved.
Yeah. Well, because remember a couple of months ago when the navs were out, like everybody was crying, they're OP, rerolls, it's going to unbalance the game, blah, blah, blah. And like crying.
Yeah. I think that's just...
And where are the navs now? I mean...
People who don't know how to do math, I think, thought that.
Yeah.
Because the navs are super reliant off of the charge to do anything. Like, they need to have the extra attack. Like, but they're not just walking up to you and taking the ball.
Because
if they are, they're not generating momentum, right?
But if they are, they're not going to do it. Because as soon as you have armor or cover, they're not going to be able to do it most of the time.
Yep. Because on 4 or 5 attack, momentum result on 3, they're not going to hit that on a 2 armor guy in cover.
Yeah, exactly.
On 4 dice, because I have 5, 4 dice, you're in cover. The best I can roll is 2 because you have 2 armor. Like, 2 successes isn't going to do what I need to do. Actually, I have that problem a lot with Fathom.
Oh, yeah.
Where, I'm so used to playing... Well, actually, I guess we can slide into this. I'm so used to playing Fish.
You did a segue, Paul.
Yeah, it was very sneaky. So used to playing Fish a certain way, right? Where I almost never charge because I don't need to. Because the momentum is so low in the playbook. So I'll just walk up to you, stay out of your range, poke you a couple times with my 2-inch weapons, generate a bunch of momentum, and then, Shark will take the ball. Angel, because I'm a weirdo. But now it's like, okay, I'll do that with Fathom. I'll walk in, I'll poke them. Oh, wait, that doesn't generate momentum. And I have no dice to do anything now because of armor and stuff. I can't actually do anything useful. Whoops.
So you were a visionary using Angel before she was good.
Yeah, sure. I was a visionary. It was just stubborn. Also, she just suited my playstyle, right?
Yeah.
I like the fast play the ball team. So, and speaking of fast and playing the ball, I've of course been playing with Yukai. Now, I was predominantly a Shark player because I don't really particularly care for Corsair's
sumo-style wrestling.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, you don't have to play Corsair that way, right? But that's kind of what everyone does with him. He's got a good ball-playing stat line without that push everyone off the field thing, but he seems to be certainly geared towards that type of game.
Yeah, that and takeout. Like, you push crowd out and then 3 damage, 3 damage, 3 damage, 3 damage, takeout.
Yep. Yukai is certainly a more traditional type of scoring captain. I think Sharks are really going to have some competition in the tournament tray.
Well, Yukai is not traditional scoring captain. I mean,
no, I don't mean his plays are traditional. I mean, he is a fast-moving, tricksy, you know,
janky
ball player, right? I think the thing that upsets most people is his place mechanic, like from his legendary.
Yeah.
That seems to shove everyone over the edge. It's really good if done right. It can be done horribly wrong, and you'll lose horribly anyway, as I found out. It changes everything, right? Because you can just push enemy models to make sure that your models are unengaged, and then pick up your model and, you know, move it essentially, depending on how range is set up, up to like 20, over 20 inches away, like 21 and a half or something.
Yeah, especially like if you do super shot on Angel, do the legendary on Angel, place her so she can do a snapshot, and if Yukai have the ball, they can pass it to her, and she's going to snapshot, from 10 inches away. So that's almost like, what, 30 inches of threat range?
Yeah, almost. No, it's over 30, right? Because she has 10-inch kick with snapshot, with super shot.
Yeah.
So it's like a, like I said, almost a 22-inch place, and then... Oh, it's so that's obviously a lot of conditions have to be met for that to happen.
Yeah, I know, but still, I mean, it's pretty good. Especially like after the snapshot, the activation doesn't end. That's the best part.
Yeah, Yukai's ability to keep the game going. That's also really good, right? Because they do their kick in and the play doesn't switch over automatically. So long as you don't run the length, it's still your turn, but they have to do the kick in before you activate your next, before you finish your activation.
And that's why the Phantom Angel combo is really good.
Yep. Yeah, it is. It is super sick. And it makes the opponent think a lot.
Yeah. Because is there really a safe place to throw in the ball?
Well, that's just it. Fish are so mobile, right?
Exactly.
But also, I've been finding that Yukai is very fun to play. Their abilities, I think, are super cool and characterful. I love the giving fly and the ability to push or grab a ball and move it 4 inches. If they're basically a free ball, I should say.
And off that batch, I feel that Yukai is the more traditional captain way to play, like let me explain. Like Morn and Steeljaw, they usually use less influence than they generate, but I feel Yukai, you still need to allocate a lot of influence, like if you want to do something like really relevant that turn.
Not necessarily, Steve. I find I usually allocate them three.
Oh, really? Not more than that? Four. Okay. I thought it was more like four or five.
Their abilities can really unlock your other players. So you can certainly allocate them four, five, or six and have them, you know...
Super captain thing.
Super captain thing, yeah. They won't be as good at it in an official sense as Shark is, but you can certainly do it. Okay. But generally speaking, I find I give them three or four.
Okay.
And that's enough to, you know... dodge a couple guys around,
break the wave.
And break the waves.
That's right? So good.
You know, but think about it, right? So
yeah, it's a place
for four. You can make two of your models dodge 2 inches as long as they're within six, and then move an enemy model.
No, four, not move. Place.
Yeah, place 4 inches. And we're talking about boar, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to mess it up with someone with a bigger base, or it might be good against miners too because they have 250 mils.
Well, they can have three with three Colossus.
Yeah.
But right. Also, like, against Blacksmith, if you want to get an apprentice that is in Sentinel and cover.
Exactly. Sentinel and stuff and just, wallop them.
Exactly. Try to get the ball back. It's pretty good. Well, there's lots of use for that character play, I find.
Oh, I'm sure there's tons of things people are going to unlock. And I think he... will let people do fun, cool things in the game.
Yeah.
Just because his mechanics are kind of unique. I'm not saying he's fair and balanced. I'm just saying he's unique and fun.
It's really like all cinematic effects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've been having a lot of fun playing him. And her. They. Them. Them. And it's got to get them finished in terms of painting.
Oh, did you start?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
they're about 3/4 painted, them and Fathom.
Oh, that's better than I did on my captain and my painting.
But with my crazy schedule, I'm trying to get stuff ready for Adepticon.
Yeah.
I'll be painting at Adepticon, I'm sure.
That's okay. It wouldn't be a con if you wouldn't be painting at the Adepticon.
That's true. That's true. I'm trying to get...
You need to go to Fort Wapple, I mean.
Oh, I'm already talking to Jim. I'm actually trying to get other models painted for another game, too. So it's going to be tough. There'll be some late nights. Maybe I'll paint in the car on the way there.
Oh, really?
No. No.
Well, people have done that for the Open in the previous years.
Oh, I know.
So you wouldn't be the first to do that.
Oh, I know I wouldn't. But I have a hard enough time painting now. I'm struggling. My eyes, they're giving me trouble.
Yeah, I have the same problem. Old man eyes.
Yeah, I had to take my glasses off today to paint someone's face because I couldn't see it. And I was like, oh. I was like looking, and I'm playing, these are judgment models, like a 54 millimeter. And I couldn't see the eyes on the 54 millimeter model. But I'm like, this is bad. Take off the glasses, pull the model in. Oh, look at that. I can see.
Exactly. That's why I paint only at night because I remove my contact lenses.
But the problem is my focal point is too bad because of my prescription. So the model has to get too close.
Okay.
So it's hard to focus because my eyes want to cross, right? Because the model's too close. So I'm going to need to get bifocals. I'm going to have to play the old man card fully and just embrace it.
Oh, I'm still resisting.
Yeah.
My ego is resisting.
I just don't know what else to do because
dollar store glasses or something like that.
The problem is my prescription is so bad, and I have astigmatisms and all kinds of other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Guilds of the North, the optometry podcast. Yeah. So, all that to say, Yukai, I think, is super fun. Very dynamic play style. I think you're going to make your opponents really angry. Feel free to laugh maniacally while they're threatening to table flip. And enjoy them. Enjoy them. I'll get it eventually.
Yeah, it's okay. You'll get there one day. And so we want to talk about the next thing that was out on March 1st as well.
What, your broken minor team that you're playing?
Yeah, broken minor.
The minor?
I had a tournament in Petawawa today. So it was a nice 4-hour drives from Montreal. Getting out.
Oh, you were playing them, weren't you?
Yeah, I played them. Because I only played like 3 games before. So, and today I played 3 more games. So I'm only 6 games in with the minors.
And on a scale of 1 to completely broken, where would you place them?
Well, I'm not that good of player, so they're not completely broken in my end, but I feel they're really good. They're really, really good. Before, like, they have lots of movement, placement, shenanigan, and everything. I mean, it's so hard to pin them.
Well,
they're going to disengage all the time.
That tank does some stupid stuff.
Well, see, actually, I almost perform better when I don't play with the tank. That's kind of sound like...
Grinding tracks may be the most broken ability I have seen in a long time.
It's only 5 inches move. Like, you need to pay to influence and, like... The most I've been able to do,
it's 5 inches move, right? Because you place your 2 inches.
Yeah, but after it's a 50 mil base. So like you need really good alignment to be able to knock down more than 2-3 players, honestly.
Oh, sorry. So for 2 influence, you can knock down 2 or 3 players and you think that's not that good.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure. Okay. Yeah, that's a pure indication that the team is completely broken. Because if that's not good enough to sell you on her, Steve, that means everyone else is too good. Because even that's too good, right? Think about what you're saying, Steve.
But the best thing about the tank I find is the sinkhole, and combined with like the place, because what I did today one time or two was like at the beginning of activation she was not in range of anybody to place, like because when she placed she's allowed to drag a player along that you then remove and place within 1 inch of her. But like she plays and she moved, so she was 1 inch near Mule after the place and move. And then I did sinkhole, dragging everybody from his team back near near Fissur. So then she plays and she drag along a Mule. So that was pretty neat and unpleasant for my opponent, mind you. But like Mule moves so much with that place, it's just crazy.
Mule is so good,
and I think in my
three damage double push on five, it's gonna be so tasty.
Well, it's hard to get it though.
Double push on three.
Yeah, it's still good. It that one is easier to get, but most of the time I was putting like two or three influence on Mule, and what you want to do is lock down. Double push and then throw, throw and then double push and move, and that player is just wasted most of the time. It's really good, but in all my three games today, I managed to miss all my first turn goal with Spade. That was sad, and so today I played against Order, Masons, and Brewers. Against Order, speaking of Order, I had a gotcha against Vet Brisket today. Like she had the ball of light and she was on the deployment line. I was receiving, and I retrieved the ball, passed the ball back to Fuse. So she had a ball of light, passed it to Ari, dodge four. I'm open, dodge four more. So she dodged eight already. And then after that, she was close enough to sprint and get to, she even dodged another four. And then she had like two influence left. So she was able to like walk, attack, and try to score. But he flubbed his dice and couldn't get the score. So I was lucky on that.
Well, what they say, Steve, sometimes better be lucky than good.
Yeah, that game it helped. But that game I was using Salvo. I really like Salvo with them with the miners, because it's kind of your only option for ball retrieval. Because they're really good and really mobile and everything, and they like most of them have a tackle really low, but a really low tackle won't help you against somebody like Iron, like a 3-3 model in cover with Sentinel. It won't help you, or Vet Graves at 3-2 in cover with close control, or even like Flint. It's going to be a bit of pain because he has
or Spigot, right?
Yeah, anybody that has close control is going to be a pain because they're going to do a counterattack that they're going to push you away or anything, so you're going to kind of be screwed. So I feel Salvo is kind of your get-out-of-jail card with the floored bolt. So, and I know it's kind of a magical unicorn fairyland to try to hope for a good scatter, but at least if he doesn't
have it's an option, right?
Yeah,
it's better there than having no option.
So it's there, so... But I'm still struggling how to best use Shaft with Lodestone and stuff like that. I'm starting to get the hang of it, like to benefit for movement and everything. But in my last game against the Brewers, I missed my shot, my score, my first turn score with Spade. The ball scatter and was like behind his line and behind the goal. So it was pretty bad. He wasn't going to get it because it's kind of easier for me to retrieve it from his player. So I was able to dodge Fuse a lot and use his under the line and clear and everything with four influence. And at the end, he was unengaged and was able to kick the ball with the remote detonation and score the goal with that. It was pretty neat.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. But against Mason, and I struggled, finished 12-4, and I struggled because I was trying...
You had four, or your opponent did?
Yeah, I had four. I only had one goal. I missed the first turn goal again with Spade. Because I'm always ready to trade 4 points for 2 points, especially early in the game.
I played fish.
Yeah.
Shark, go do your thing and die honorably.
Yeah. Well, and most of the time it's okay. But I was really struggling against, because everybody was at least 3-2 in the team. So there were, the playbook wasn't stellar to try to move and try to get the ball. So I really struggled getting back the ball after that. But it was a good game. Rough game, but I learned. So, but all in all, the miners, maybe it's just me, but I'm struggling getting the third goal. Like getting the first two goals, it's easy, but getting the third one, it's hard because most of the time the opponent will play really cagey and it's getting hard to get the ball. So there's play. I need to try, like I was saying earlier, I need to try to work more with probably Shaft with Lodestone and Fissure getting the sinkhole for the second place in the turn and stuff like that. But I'm just learning them. I mean, I'm six game in, so I'm still in the learning phase from them. But I feel they're really good, though.
Yeah, I think the internet shares your opinion. So I haven't tried them myself.
And I think you will need to adjust with other team to find a way to beat them in tournament, because I'm sure you're going to face miners all over the place really soon.
Probably.
And they need more adjustment than the navigators did. And then the cooks will need as well. Because the unique way they play and the place and everything, they just disengage so well.
Yeah, you can't jail them, right? Effectively. Yeah.
No, exactly.
It's really tough.
So, well, good beat down team have a game
against them
because but it's really hard because you need to do take out faster than they can do the goal. So it's kind of a race to the 12th. But if you can keep the ball away from them.
I was going to say, just kind of park the ball somewhere on someone and keep it away.
Yeah, exactly. And they're kind of, well, not hard, but they're all at least 4-1 with 14, 16 health. So they're kind of resilient.
They're hardy.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were talking on the car coming back from the tournament. Like Hunters might have a good game against them because they're all relatively slow with their regular move. So yes, they have the place, but as soon as you start to snare them or rough ground or something like that, then they're really slow because most of them are 4-6. So they're going to struggle after that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
more than other teams, I think.
They have to be a 4-6. Can you imagine if they were 8-base? Like,
I know. It would be gross.
So bonkers.
Even more gross than now.
So,
but they're good and they're fun to play.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. You're enjoying playing them, right?
So. Yeah, because I feel it's really the first team that's really a 3-0, even though I had to resort to doing two takeouts against the order, because I felt like against order I needed to do the takeouts to be and try to kill the ball until I was able to do my last goal.
Right.
Because as soon as I was scoring, he would score back. So it was just a matter of like who's going to get
first.
Who's going to get the first goal and who's going to miss a goal shot, and then that's it. If you miss a goal shot, you kind of lose the game. So that's why after after my first goal, I did two takeouts and then went for the last goal when I was ready after the second takeout. But their damage is so bad and so low. It takes really long to do the takeouts, even with like mule. I was just doing mules and shaft for the takeouts, and I feel like if you want to do the takeout route, you really need Colossus, for the single out. And Colossus damage is really good as well.
He's got a 4, right?
Yeah, he's got a 4. 4 so,
and 5, yeah.
And he's the only one who has a 4 on the entire
And the singled out is on 1, right? Momentous singled out. So
yeah.
That adds a lot of play to the rest of the team if you're going to try to do takeouts.
Yeah, exactly. So if you need to switch, I think if you feel you need to do a 2-2, then you need Colossus, I think. Because
I guess it's a safe bet.
It's just too long. I struggle so much. I did like miss takeout and a seasoned brisket takeout, but it took all my resources to do it. It was so painful and long.
So I like how the tank doesn't even have damage. Not really. Got 2-5.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really rough. I mean, Mule has a 3-5, but it's hard to attain because he's only 6. And Chef has a non-momentous 3-5 as well with a 6 stack. So with a couple of crowding outs, but it's rough to get crowding outs because only Chef and
Salvo 3-5.
Yeah.
As well. But,
and only Shaft and Spade are 2 inches for where they that have reached. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of rough. So it really feels like a desperate measure. Or you might be lucky and be able to push people off the board as well.
Mm.
That's the other option you have, I guess. But they feel more a 3-0 team than the Navs.
And I think that's exactly how they're supposed to feel. So
yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what it's supposed to be.
And they have lots of champions, so I'm still learning them a lot. So but I feel they have more, a bit more learning than the Navs, because Navs is like more traditional way of scoring. Like you just charge, tackle, dodge, score.
Right.
Similar to Fish, but Miner are completely different. Way of scoring and moving than the other teams in Guild Ball, so that's why I feel that's how I feel they're really interesting.
What?
I'm looking to play more of them again until everybody here is sick and is gonna say I'm not playing if you're playing Miners.
Yeah, well, I haven't actually played into you with them yet. We haven't been able to get a game in for weeks.
I know our schedule are not just matching.
Not working. Yeah, but let's see. I'm sure hopefully we can get some. Whoops. Hopefully I can get some pickup games at Adepticon.
Yeah. But I'm not going at Adepticon, so I won't be able to get a pickup game against you.
Well, that's true. But I'm going to Adepticon, and I'm going to take my Guild Ball models and a pitch. So
here's and Yom as a Miner as well, so if he assemble them soon enough, I will be able to play against them. So it's going to be another player.
Oh, local. Miners versus Miners. That'll be fun.
No, I won't play Miners against Miner.
The mirror match.
Well, it's going to be horrible.
Yes, exactly.
I don't think it's going to be a fun game.
Well, that goes without saying. It's Yom. I'm just kidding. Sorry, you opened that door and I had to run through it.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. But there was a tournament in UK, I think. Today I'm trying, that's good radio, right?
Yeah, what are you trying to look up?
Oh.
You want to see where the miners placed?
Yeah, there's a tournament, the Jumper Springs in UK. It was a 27 players event. And out of the first five, first place was Butchers. And then it was Miners, Miners, Hunters, Miners.
Right. But that's also because they're relatively new and there's inexperienced. Right?
Yeah.
There's a, wasn't there the Long Island event today?
Yeah, it was Grim Vengeance. Unfortunately, we couldn't get Team Putin back up.
Yeah, which is with Adepticon in a few days. Yeah, which is no way. If it wasn't for that, I would have been on board, Steve. I would have gone and lost there too. Because that's what I'm about. I'm about losing at this point. And, you know, I lost so bad at Captain Con that Sean Dooley from Steamforge is going to... Steamforge is basically going to give me a minor team because I was such a good sport and I didn't drop from the event even though I was in last place and losing every round. So I got a prize for being last, which is kind of cool. But unfortunately, I don't think the cooks are going to be out this week, and that's what I was supposed to pick up.
Actually, that's not true. Some pictures are floating around that stores are getting them in the States.
Oh, well, hopefully he'll have them for Adepticon.
So there's,
yeah, I'm supposed to pick up my team at Adepticon from him.
So there's hope for them there.
Oh, there you go.
So,
all right.
That's stuff for another episode, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, I guess we'll call it here. I mean, we could have talked about the sneak preview captains, but I guess we'll just do that next episode.
Yeah, we need to spread the our
not spread the news out. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And we've been at this for pretty much an hour, so
yeah,
it's a good length.
We rambled enough.
Yep. Awesome, Steve. Well, always a pleasure, and I'll see you next show.
Take care, Paul.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks of the North. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by La Drave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com where you will find Indie Conquest, a blog helping indie board game designers succeed, providing useful resources from designing games, utilizing Kickstarter, and finally manufacturing and distributing your games. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.